A few weeks ago, we began a several-part message on the selfie life. And I would like to continue that. We're glad that you came, in spite of all the activity outside. And praise God. I love praising the Lord. Glory to Jesus. The first week we talked about the decision of following Jesus and the sign that followed that. The second Sunday we dealt with dealing with the selfie life and being aware of the bowl. We're tempted by all kinds of things, and of course Jacob and Esau had a little. Well, Esau sold his birthright, didn't he? We've been looking at this selfie life through the eyes of Jacob, learning to find ourselves and really dealing with self and that self life. This week we wish to deal with a little bit different slant on it. This is also week number 3 on the selfie life. And if I was to subtitle it, I would subtitle it, When God Shows Up in the Middle of Nowhere. Praise God. And in dealing with this topic, I would like to read a few portions of Scripture. And we'll begin with Genesis chapter 28. And at verse 10, Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, we will read down as far as verse 22. Genesis 28. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head upon against and laid down to sleep. Verse 12 says, As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. Verse 13, At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. The ground that you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Verse 14, Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you and will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place. I wasn't even aware of it. Verse 17. But he was also afraid, and he said, What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against, and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil all over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although it was previously called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow, If God will indeed be with me and will protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. This memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. Well, that's interesting. That's even before law. Genesis chapter 32, verse 10. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1 to 7. Then God said to Jacob, "Get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob told everyone in his household, "Get rid of all your pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We're now going to Bethel, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayer when I was in distress. He has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them underneath a great tree near Shechem. And as they set out, a terror from God spread over the people in all the towns of that area. So no one attacked Jacob's family. Verse 6, eventually Jacob and his household arrived at Luz, also called Bethel, in Canaan. Jacob built an altar there and named the place El Bethel, which means God of Bethel, because God had appeared to him when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. Psalm 106, verse 2 says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases." Verse 4, "He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles." And one more verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is the way to worship, to truly worship him." Father, we thank you for your word. Now we ask the Lord that whether we are here in this service or whether we are listening online, I ask in Jesus' name you will take your word and solidify it in our hearts. Open our eyes and open our ears that we'll not only see your love, but we'll hear your love, and soften our hearts so we'll be able to respond to that love in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the middle of nowhere. Wow. In Genesis chapter 28, Jacob was on the run from his brother Esau. He was traveling from the land of his father Isaac to a land of his relative Laban. He was on his way. One night he stopped at a place called Luz. And while he was sleeping, God reveals himself to Jacob in a dream. And he gave him a great promise. When Jacob woke up, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place." And I wasn't even aware of it. How many times are we in the presence of God and we are not aware of his presence? Wow. And so he renamed that place called Bethel. Jacob was in the middle of nowhere. He was between where he started out and to where he wanted to go, and he was in this place of nowhere. But he encountered, and he had an encounter with God. He was running for his life, and for him, it was a place far from safety. It was a place far from security of everything he knew. Some of the greatest things of God, that some of the things that God will do in our lives are when we're in a transition, or when we're in trouble, or when we're in a pressing pressure situation. To Jacob, Bethel was a rest stop. He doesn't expect to meet God there. Do we expect to meet God where we go? Do we expect to meet God in the place of our wildernesses? In our lives that are full of ambition, we often sacrifice contentment. But like Jacob, we need to wake up to the presence of God every moment. He's there. Jesus said, "I will be with you always." even until the end of the age. Sometimes, in that place, we find a Bethel. Praise God. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not even talking about this ministry. I'm talking about the place where the presence of God is. Those times when you don't know which way to turn. After Bethel, Jacob proceeded to the land of Laban, where he was tricked into marrying Leah. And he had to work many years for the hand of Rachel, who he really, the woman he really loved and really wanted to be there. He was there. It was there that he had some sons that would become the 12 tribes of Israel. He had eventually had to run from Laban and with his family. And 20 years after his dream, God tells him to return to Bethel and build an altar there. So, Jacob had to go back to Bethel after all those years. And he had to go back to Bethel to be reminded that God started his purposes in Jacob's life there, in the middle of nowhere. God wanted to let him know he would be faithful to finish it. So often, in this life of self, we call it the selfie life. Everyone likes to take a picture of themselves. But we've got to come to the place that in all the middle of our struggles, we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Sometimes we often can feel so dissatisfied with life, but we see through a set of lenses. We can go back to the place where we met God anytime in our lives. And we can remember the place where God had spoken to us. See, Bethel was a place of remembrance. Life had changed for Jacob since the first time at Bethel. In Genesis 32, he remembered that he entered the land with just a staff, and he had God's faithfulness had been multiplied to the place where he had two camps worth of people and livestock. We all have Bethels. We all have places where we didn't know and weren't sure. But God showed up in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. We need to be continually returning to the place of Bethel where we met God. Whether we're in success or whether we're in trouble, we need to remember the times that God did it and no one else could have. Praise God. So Psalm 103 instructs us not to forget the Lord's benefits. By doing an about-face, a 360 turn, to look back over our lives and be reminded of all those times that God met us, that God looked after us. All those things God had spoken to us, that God had done for us, that God had promised for us. See, Bethel was Jacob's place of revelation. In Genesis 28, God revealed himself to Jacob. There was a revelation and awakening. Jacob woke up to the reality that God's presence was with him. Because Jesus died for us, we have the Holy Spirit alive in us, especially if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. When you know him, that means God's presence is in us. Bethel is not just a place. Bethel is a person who is with us and is within us wherever we go. When God shows up in the middle of nowhere, he opens our eyes and he changes that nowhere into somewhere with him. Praise God. God is here. God is here right now with us. And he's been here all along. God doesn't wait until we've made it to bless us. Bethel is a place of response. The first time at Bethel, Jacob made a conditional oath to God. He says, if God did certain things, or God would do certain things, I'll serve him. That's what he basically says when you read the story. But after going through the struggles, Jacob returns with a limp. He builds an offering or an altar to God. An altar is a place of sacrifice. It was a place where he's no longer negotiating his relationship with God. When it comes time to the self-life, it's not a place. If you want to turn your life over to Jesus, there's no negotiation. You just decide to surrender your life to him. It's not, well, if you do this, I'll do this. Bethel makes us realize that what we really need most is God's presence going with us through everything. The response is to lay down our lives as a living sacrifice to God, saying to God, my life is yours, my heart is yours. So it was in Romans chapter 12, we read it earlier. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. We must lay down our self-life. It's got to be laid down and put it to death. When Christ comes in and gives you his life, you will find a new life. It is not a life of living for yourself, but it is a life of living for the Lord. And the Lord goes with you wherever you go. It's not a life of negotiating with God, but it's a life, a self-life that we give up to have a relationship with him. God is with us and desires to be with us wherever we go, even if it's in the middle of nowhere. He wants to take you somewhere with him. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge of your word. Glory to God. Lord, we ask that you would take this word and help us throughout this week. That in the middle of all of our stuff, whether it's at work, whether it's at an office, whether it's in a school, I ask, Lord, that you would help us where it seems like in those places we're in the middle of nowhere. Thank you for the promise in your word. Tribulation's going to come. Offenses will come. Stuff will happen. But I thank you, God, that you are not just a God, that you're not made of stone or anything of wood. In fact, those kind of images do not talk. But you, oh God, are living and active and ever with us, so very present, and help us in our time of need. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are our God. You are our guide. You are our all in all. Thank you, Lord, that you command blessing upon those who will follow in your ways. So I pray that you would help your people to follow in your ways. And as they do, I pray that, Lord, you will bless them and protect them and sustain them and guard them. I pray, Lord, that you will make your face to shine upon them with your favor. I pray that you'd be gracious to your people and surround them with your loving kindness. I pray that you would lift up your very countenance upon them and in your divine and with your divine approval, give them peace of heart, mind, and body. I pray that you would help them as they reach their purpose that you have created for them. I pray that you would give them courage above their peers. I pray that you would give them more passion for the things that you have for them than others think necessary. I pray that you would give them dreams more than other people think practical. I pray that you would give them an expectation more than others think possible. I pray that they would see things that others don't know exist. I pray that you would help them as they bless their children, and that their children would become giants under your mighty hand. I pray that you would bless them in their rising up and in their sitting down, in their going out and their coming in. I pray blessing on your people. I pray your blessing upon that would come upon them and would overtake them, whether they are in the city or whether they are in the country. I pray that your offspring and even the offspring of your people, that you would bless their offspring, their ground, their animals would be blessed. And I pray that the works of their hands would be blessed. And I pray, Lord, that those that would try to rise up against your people would be defeated. I pray, Lord, for them that they would not fail. I pray that your love would work in them, your love would work through them, and your love would work for them. For your word says love never fails. So I pray that these people will remain in your love, and that you will make us one as you are one. Thank you, Lord, that you promised according to Deuteronomy 28. That if we would diligently obey you, I thank you that you promised that you would bless them and that the blessing would overtake them and run them over. So now I pray according to your word, the wisdom and the strong obedience, so much strong obedience that through obedience to you, it'll run them over and that it'll run somebody else over that they choose to bless as well, that you would receive glory and honor and praise. And I also pray the peace over Jerusalem, your peace, your shalom peace over Jerusalem in Jesus' name and your people Israel. And I pray all of this in the mighty name, in the holy name, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let all that is within you, let it praise the Lord as you go into these coming days and weeks in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise God.